Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Welcome back for another OG Show Live. Mr. Randall, how you doing?
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Reel Down.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for News.
Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to, once again, the Bass Kayak and Beers.
Brother, this is the final cast.
Another segment of Chasing the Tide, your saltwater connection on the Paladin.
Welcome back, everyone. Another episode of Feather and Fur, your host,
Brad. Welcome back to the Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal.
Hey, welcome back to Off the Water.
Happy to be here with Adventures of Outdoor Woman Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast.
We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, go to eastport.info. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Reel Down. I ain't gonna lie, that startled me right there, Dano. Welcome back to the Reel Down, everybody. I'm already thrown off. Dan just like shot a look and I stared deep into my soul and I just wasn't ready for it.
Sorry.
No, you're good. But yeah, welcome back, everybody. A little bit of a different show this week. We had some last minute cancellations. That shit just tends to happen mostly to us. And we scrambled, we got some guests, and we're just going to kind of wing it this week. So welcome to After Hours or whatever else this turns into. Be prepared for unfilteredness from me. It's kind of per usual, though, so nothing new there. I usually just drop the F-bomb a few more times than normal. But yeah, what about you, Dan? What's been up this week, brother?
None. My kid did the hockey. He started the 6 to 8 year old travel team hockey team Birmingham Bulls tonight. So it was like practice, regular practice, and then that practice. So yeah, it's all hockey here at the Perry House.
My dude, yeah, I feel like your fishing career is going to start to slow down as he gets older and better at it. I mean, I think your son's already a beast. You've showed us the videos of your son like plowing over kids. It's going to take over his life, your pocketbook, you know.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
Nah, it'll be cool. He'll love it. What other sport do you get to whip people's ass and get away with it?
Yeah. Hey, he loves it, man. He loves running into people. But this weekend, I'm trying to get you to come fishing with me down at a little secret pond. Some people I know have a little pond and it's stocked and they have too many fish and they need to get them out. So me and Jimmy and the kid might be doing some fishing this weekend.
Yeah, I'm doing my best to make it. I'm hoping I can make that happen. I think it'd be fun. I know my daughter would enjoy. I mean, hell, I know I'd enjoy it. I just love catching fish. But I think I could make some controversial content out of it too.
Well, oh, keeping kinda, bass.
Yeah, eating them.
Well, I mean,
I'm gonna do that whole not smallmouth sandwich, but you know, like spotted bass sandwich or something like that.
Well, these are actually like in a pond. It's an 8 to 10 acre pond, and they need to get some out because there's too many and they won't get big enough. So it's like the only time in my mind I would keep a bass and eat them. So,
yeah, no, I mean, I agree. Like, there's definitely better tasting fish, but it's part of the, damn it. I can't think of the word conservation of it. Like, for a lot of people who don't understand it, I mean, a lot of the times too many of the same size class fish actually will affect the growth cycle and spawn cycles, and you won't get the big fish. That's why a lot of like neighborhood ponds usually suck. Like, every now and then you find the one that's got a few biggins in it, but most of them just suck. You'll catch 5 million 12 inchers, you know.
That's it.
But yeah, looking forward to that. I hope I can come. I think it'll be a great time. But we'll start. We'll let our first guest come in real quick. Nobody probably knows who he is, but what's up? It's Brad Herlebas. All right, it's been great. Goodbye, Brad. I'm just kidding.
I'm just sitting here thinking about fish tacos.
Yeah, that's probably what would happen. I was trying to think. I was like, I just don't think I want to do fried golden crispies. I think I'd do some tacos.
Tacos, some fresh salsa.
What have you been doing? You been hunting any yet? I know you hunt for just about everything that comes in season.
Teal opened up first through the ninth in Wisconsin here. I mean, it was definitely it was a real exciting teal. I had off that Thursday and I had to cancel my day of vacation because work took over. So I missed the opener. We headed over to the Mississippi River on the way up. I hit something with my trailer, took out a tire and the hub. So it was real good. Yeah, it was real good. Mississippi River was fun. Did a ton of work on the backwaters and I found probably about 1,000 wood ducks with not a single teal.
That figures.
So that's the start of my hunting season. Yeah. I wrapped up my tournament season a little bit early to switch gears to hunting. So I did qualify for our state championship, but I skipped out on it because it wound up being this past weekend, and without having any time to pre-fish with already having ducks on my mind, I just said, yeah, I'll save the money.
Yeah. For anybody that doesn't know, Brad hosts one of our segments on the Paddle and Fin Network, Feather and Fur, and he doesn't fish. Like hunting and shooting shit his life and his dog. He has the coolest dog in the world. But
she's a bearded little girl. She's not down here tonight. Oh, I actually had a pretty good tournament season this year though.
You like, did.
Not fishing. I had a pretty good tournament season.
He's been cashing tons of checks and taking over you were doing like afternoon tournaments, weren't you? A lot of those.
A weeknight league on my local Lake Jane here in Madison. So I did pretty good. And what I have 3 firsts, 2nd, 3/3, and a fourth for my top 8.
Where did you end up, Angler? Do y'all have AOI? Or?
We did. I wasn't able to. I was in the Mississippi for their Angler of the Year, and I did not know it was a double points event. So I got bumped from 1st to 4th.
Ain't that some shit?
Yep. So it's not that.
You won in our hearts, man.
It's
your
not,
Angler of the Year.
It kind of was disappointing. The person who won it, he had one bad tournament that had bumped out. Even if it was a single point event and I would have showed up, I had no possible way to beat him. Even if he caught a single fish, I couldn't have beat him. He had just beat me. I only beat him once throughout the year. So he won it, and we only pay the top place for Angler of the Year. So really, it didn't matter after that point. But yeah, it would have been nice to finish 2nd rather than 4th.
But you can hang your hat on a kick-ass year, though, so that doesn't
matter. For sure. Those 3 first place, like, really. That because this is my first year I ever took a first. This is the first year I ever won anything too. And I remember calling Schiller and being like, I fucking won.
Dude, that's how I felt, man. This year I didn't take this year too seriously. In the last 2 events I got in, I cashed a check, and that was just like kind of like, I don't want to say inflates your ego, it just like helps your confidence. Like, oh, maybe I do know what the hell I'm doing occasionally. Like, I kind of feel like Dan, because Dan wins a lot. And he takes money.
Paddle and Finn Crew's been on a roll this season, to be honest. You, yeah. Dan, myself, Dustin's done good.
Dustin always does good.
Yeah,
so Dustin's just good.
If he fished for bass, he would be like top 5 in the country.
I said it when he was on with us one time, and I 100% would put my money where my mouth is on it. If he took national tournament trails serious and stopped the saltwater, a lot of these top name folks would be in trouble, because the dude can put it together everywhere. He's freaking good. But we're glad to have you on. We're just going to kind of goof off and talk. But Dan, I'm going to let you introduce the guy that you brought on, and then I'll introduce the other guy.
Yeah, here. Next is Mark Edwards. He's been on a bunch of times. The Goat Whisperer middle of nowhere, West Virginia. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
We appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, you just won, West Virginia?
It was Mountain State Kayak Anglers Championship.
There you go.
It was a two-day tournament, and it was actually the only time all year I've slept in my own bed.
Yeah, you don't get that pleasure for tournament fishing too often.
No, like my home waters here, man. Like we fish a new river, like I'm 10 minutes away, but my access point is on the other side of the river, and it's an hour drive.
Yeah,
you know, it sucks.
You know, I've tried.
It's awesome fishing.
Pickwick tournaments that way. You know, it's 45 minutes away, so I'm like, I'll just sleep at my house. If I do that, I won't get up on time. Like
that's why I usually sleep at the ramp.
Yeah,
because I'm bad. I'm lazy, real bad lazy.
But you know, I say that, and this year I took it a lot less serious. Like I was one of the first to the ramp at one of the days, and I was last on the water by 15 minutes because I just talked to everybody, didn't get any of my shit out of my truck, went up to the outhouse, used the bathroom, came back, putted it around, and then boom, I had a limit in like 15 minutes. I was like, what is happening? Like. This isn't how this goes for me. And then I got second in it. I was like, so that's the key. Don't give a fuck. I'm going to like brand it. But
the thing about this 2-day tournament was we had three waters we had to choose from. Right. So we couldn't fish the same one twice. So we had Bluestone Lake, New River, and the Greenbrier River.
That's cool.
And so the first day I chose the lake because my team partner, we got three clubs in the state and I fish all three of them, and this one I wasn't in the angler year running because I've only fished two other tournaments in this club just because they were so far, and plus I fish every weekend, so just you don't want to get burnt out, you know what I'm saying? So I burned myself out last year sort of, just because I think I got 6 weekends in a row now I got tournaments, and you know, 3 or 4 more, you know, I think it's 4 more weeks, and I'll be at the Pickwick at the bass one. Yeah, and I got a real good shot of winning angler year in that. So, right now, but
I'm trying to decide if I'm going to jump down in that. I know Drew's been asking me if I was coming. Aren't you in that house too, right? Were you staying with Gregory and them? I can. He like added like 50 people in that group chat, so I have no clue who all is in that. Because he was talking about his possibility of winning Angler of the Year, your possibility of winning Angler of the Year, and something like that, and throwing a banger and all sorts of stuff. I don't know, but maybe.
If you do, you should try to get that same house. It was legit.
The one we did?
Yeah.
Yeah. I almost kind of want to just have a couple of people and go find that house instead of a house full of people way better than me, because it'll not mess with my mental status. I hadn't even started drinking yet. Jesus.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I mean,
I think it can be great. We went and pre-fished it. Actually, the guy I'm about to bring in here, we went and pre-fished it this weekend and confirmed some information. So I think it's going to fall in line perfectly time-wise for some like fall pattern, because it's definitely not there yet. Which, I mean, even the big fishing report said it wasn't, but we tried to prove that wrong and failed miserably. But without further ado, I'll bring him in here. Good buddy of mine, Mr. Gerard Johnson.
Hey, what's going on?
Anglers, club director, Tennessee Hammer, teammate with Music City. His name's actually Garrett. I'm totally kidding about Gerard. But everybody goes with that.
Yeah.
Well, what's up, dude?
Gerard, Jared, Garland is my favorite one. I got carrot one time too at a restaurant.
Why carrot?
I don't know. I guess he thought I said my name was Carrot, and he was like super serious when he called my name up. Like,
I would have ran with that.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you having you on, man. I know we haven't had you on before, so give us a quick who you are, how you got into kayak fishing.
Yeah, so, I'm Garrett. I started kayak fishing probably 8-9 years ago. Honestly, I didn't really get that much into fishing until I was in college, and I wish I would have, like, done it more throughout my life. But started really heavy in college. And then after that, after I graduated, that's when I really started getting on into tournaments and stuff. And then the year after my first year of tournament fishing, the director that out for the club that I was working with, he stepped down and asked me to take it over. So ever since then, that was 3-4 years ago, I took over the Central Tennessee Kayak Angler Group.
And I hear nothing but bad things about it. They're actually talking about voting him out of that position because it's just bullshit. No, I'm totally
terrible.
Kidding. His guys, like all their guys are loyal as shit. Like, they really believe in the bullshit he's feeding them.
I'll tell you what, man. Tennessee, y'all really have it together better than any other state in the country. Like, even the Alabama tournament directors, like, we're all talking and trying to, you know.
Be more like
y'all. Yeah, we see how well y'all do it. Like, we're trying to do that, too, and come together as a group.
Yeah, we got a pretty good system established here, and it's, I mean, it's been around for, I don't know, like 9 or 10 years or so.
I mean, CAST has been around for a hot minute.
Yeah.
And for anybody that doesn't know, that's like a collaboration of the clubs that basically, like, y'all share all the same rule sets, and that's how the state championship's held and all that shit. It's really cool.
Yeah, we got 11 different clubs in that set of clubs that's all comes together and use the same rule sets and everything.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Well,
like in total, there's probably like 400 or 500 kayak anglers in the state if you count up all those clubs.
Yeah, and you know, like 50% of the hammers in the country are fishing in those clubs. So, if you really want to test your brass and think you're somebody, go fish with those clubs because they will fucking humble you quickly. And then you got, and I don't mean this in any like no name, like Garrett, you're a really good angler, but you know, we haven't heard your name on the national scene. But so like, if you were coming into Tennessee, like I'm going to go try some other clubs, Garrett, Kazmierski, they'll still kick your ass. And like Adam Reiser still goofs off in these clubs. Like, yeah, that's why I don't fish at the Tennessee clubs. I fished with TVKA one time, finished middle of the pack, call that a win. And it's like, I think I finished above Josh Stewart and was like, woo, I'm out. Like,
yeah, I did that once this year too, and I was like, yes.
I fished one Tennessee event ever, and I won. So I'm one for one.
Yeah.
Bring him more to the party.
The street.
It was lucky.
What Tennessee event did you fish?
TVKA.
Was it?
Yeah, Gunnersville this year.
Well, yeah, Garrett actually just won one. Here, I'm going to bring a couple more assholes in.
Oh, Lord.
Hey! my favorite two testicles. What's going on, guys?
Is that a Browns jersey?
It is. Talk, that's the color talk something. Of his soul.
Oh, my Lord.
No, that's black. That's black as black. This is just brown. This is the color of Taco Bell.
No, that's the color of after Taco Bell.
True.
Well, we're just goofing off, guys, and introducing a couple new guests. But for anybody that's listening and doesn't see it on YouTube, we've got with us now Mr. Brad Hicks and Mrs. Matt Souders, the most lovely couple in Paddle and Fin.
Thanks for having us.
Well, we appreciate y'all coming on. We're going to get to some bullshit. But we were just talking about some of the different clubs and how everybody's been doing. And what I was getting at, though, Garrett, you just won a TVKA tournament on Chick for the Tennessee Bass Nation. Or no, the TVKA one was a solo event.
Yeah, on Chick. Like a double dip.
And then my man was whipping that ass in the Tennessee Bass Nation tournament on day one. And then what happened on day two?
Man, I just didn't take advantage of my opportunities. And
also, as we discussed it this weekend, it was that, and my man refuses to put down the frog if he's had a bite on the frog, so he just died by the frog.
Yeah, I can't resist it.
Yeah,
I got some if you want some.
I mean, I'm still waiting on my box.
Dude, I see it. I'm looking at it right now. I just haven't. I keep forgetting to go to the post office. I have to go, though, like either tomorrow or Thursday, because I have to send back a saddle I ordered because I got too big of a size and it doesn't fit. So I might as well just knock like two birds out with one stone.
Like a tree saddle?
Yeah, I got a Phantom saddle. Nice. And I got the XL. So bad. And I was like, oh, yeah, this will fit.
What's your this is getting way out of like
what the hell is a tree saddle?
So it's a new way of hunting instead of a tree stand. You basically hang from the tree like a lineman would on a power pole.
It's the same concept, and you can climb. But see, other like a tree stand, I can climb any tree as long as it's like, I think it's thicker than, I don't know, I think it was like 8 inches. You can go up the tree, no matter limbs or anything. You just go up it. It's great.
Yeah. It's got all sorts of like real lineman parts to it, like ropemen and bridges and stuff. So you've got all sorts of fail safes. You can rappel down the tree. Yeah, it's way cooler. Like your range of motion. So like you can hang from the tree and be comfortable. And then you can take your shot this way. You can move 270 degrees around your back and make a shot, or you can put your harness over and you can spin around and you can get to your weak side. It's pretty cool. You know, you do any of that shit in a tree stand, you're going to fall out. Like,
yeah,
die. Matt's favorite thing to say, die.
You're going to die. It's going to happen. I said it in our show we just recorded. You could have died. What were you going to ask, though, why am I returning it?
Well, you said it's XL is too big, and the XL was the one I was looking at for extra room. Like, how much bigger is it than the
so standard? I'm a 38 waist because I got them burthen hips.
Same here. Fat ass.
Yep. Yeah, shut up.
Fuck you, skinny jeans.
But I'm a 38 waist. So on their website, it says, you know, the Phantom, regular Phantom's like a 24 or something all the way up to a 38. And then the 38 or the Phantom XL is a 38 plus. So I was like, well, hey, I'm going to get fatter. It's just how it is. So I'll just get the third. Dude, I got that. Put it on. I got it as tight as I could. No. Like it didn't even stay.
Won't buy it then.
It just thought it would all the way down.
Some people said if you got if it was too big, it just could make it more comfortable because you had like more room in it, which doesn't make sense because I feel like it's just more room for me slipping right out the bottom of that bitch and going straight down in the ground. But
yeah, like I couldn't even tighten it on my waist. So, which is cool though. It's a great company. Like I emailed them out. They're like, yeah, just send it back and we'll send you another one. I was like, all right, cool. Thanks. Easy.
So, shameless plug for Tethered.
Yep. I got their steps, the Skeletors. Love them. Cheap, great, awesome. So
you use the steps every time, or are you using things on your feet?
Spikes.
I use the steps for one reason only. You can't cause any damage to the trees in Ohio on public land. And my luck, the first time I do it, I'll have a pair of green pants come up to me and give me a fine, and the fine's like $280. So I'm not doing that. I'll just use steps. And there's some guys who do, it's called the one step.
Single step method.
Yeah. And they'll take one tree step and go up and then move it. I ain't doing that. And then there's guys who rappel down. I'm not doing that either. No,
I'll rappel. They got some really cool tools for rappelling now that like a jackass can use it and not fall out of the tree. Like the concept is the harder you squeeze down, the faster you go. If you don't want to die, you just bump it. But I know I'm going to be trying to like SWAT team my way off and fast rope out of the tree, you know, kick off. And...
I can tell you in the Marine Corps, the reason my back's all screwed up is because I fell out of when I was rappelling, I fell out of a Sea Knight helicopter about 20 feet onto my back. Now, granted, that was just me holding onto a rope with no safety at all. And just, you're just falling at a controlled speed. So I know it's a lot safer. Still ain't going to do it just because.
Well, I'll tell you what, when I fall and land flat on my back, before I call someone to come get me out of the woods, I'm going to call you first and be like, I understand now.
I'm telling you, dude, it sucks. Like the only thing that saved me was my plate carrier because it took all the brunt. I broke a rear plate, which the Marine Corps charged me $900 for. But yeah, I know. It's stupid. That plate, it's stupid. It's so dumb. But whatever.
You fell out of our bullshit aircraft and it's your fucking fault. Pay us.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what, and it was my fault. I let go of the rope because I'm an idiot. Gust of wind came.
Oh, I'm going too fast.
No, dude, a gust of wind came and picked it up and I was like, oh no, this is weird. And instead of just holding on the rope tighter, I was like, and I just, And then I had to crawl to a position and sit in a security on my stomach for 45 minutes, all while I'm crying in my brain. Like, I'm dead. I'm in hell.
He's the reason they have safety briefings. They've probably got it on video. This is what you don't do, fellas.
Oh, no. I was in every safety brief. Like, they mentioned me every single time. Don't let go of the rope. If Gus comes up, just grab on tighter. Or you'll be like Sergeant Souders. And I was like, yeah, I'm an idiot.
Glad I could help, Gus.
Yep. Pretty much what it was. But anyway,
gosh, you getting rabbit holes on this show just as bad as we do. Well, on this, like, we're just all goofing off. We had last minute cancellations, so we figured we'd go kind of after hours ish and just hang out and talk about whatever came up.
Cool.
I figured we'd hit some odd subjects. We wanted to pick at Garrett about. That's the second time this year Garrett has been beating the shit out of everybody and then shot himself in the foot. Me and him laugh about it together all the time because, like, at the paddle and fin event on Del Hollow, he whipped everybody's ass on day one, and then you blanked on day two, didn't you?
Gonked it.
Yeah. Like, he texted me during the day. Well, kind of. It was half broken. Me and Susie, like, I mean, he said while it worked, he said, oh, it's never worked this good. And then it blew up like the week after that. He texted me, was like, yeah, it died. Oh, look, a dog.
Oh, it's a puppy.
Man. Oh, that's a cute doggy. God, we're so random.
Yep.
But no, good times. I can't wait for the Del Hollow event next year because the timing. I'm so stoked.
Oh, it's going to be so much better. It's going to be fun. God. I'm so
Gary, fine. Are y'all going to try and do that with us again?
Why would the timing
be better? Yeah.
We're going later in the month than we ever have.
Oh, okay.
Because we seem to always miss it.
Yeah, but say it's December? Always.
Hmm?
Is it the December? Couple years?
No, it's March or April. Fuck, I don't know. I should know this.
It's end of April.
April. Third week of April. I think Brad's right. Something. Yeah.
Good job. That's right, Paddle and Finn guys. Be on top of your shit. I'll tell Brian y'all are doing great. But anyway, you think you're going to do that one with us again, Garrett, as far as like club thing?
Yeah, I definitely want to put that on our schedule for next year. We're going to be setting our schedule here in the next month or so.
Listen to that. All you club directors that listen to this show all over the rest of the country, they are doing their shit now. You should be too.
Yeah.
Get it over with.
The Ohio trails are still like
running.
Going.
Yeah, they're still running until November.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, you know, our seasons get to start a lot earlier than y'all's do, though. Like,
yeah.
Which, if in Tennessee, I mean, they fish all through the winter because they're fucking.
Yeah, we're going to start our season in December with that that other one on Del Hollow, the Tennessee Bass Nation.
Yeah.
So. I've heard Del Hollow is money in December.
Oh, that's what I've heard too.
Steve Kazmierski and Adam Reiser said that if you're not fishing it in the cold weather, you're not fishing it at the right time of the year. When we had both of them on, when they like 1-2'd an event, like, that's when they figure they're fishing out there is when it's frigid.
Yeah, you kind of get the lake to yourself. Well, not really, because there's still a lot of like shiner fishermen and stuff out there. And
that's not real fishing.
Yeah, but at least people aren't throwing like 4-ounce A rigs at your face from a boat in your kayak because there's an MLF event going on.
Yeah,
and all those assholes think they've got a chance, and like none of them had a clue.
No. Well, we talked to one guy at the boat ramp that was like fifth place or something.
Yeah, he was in fifth or sixth.
Did you tell him that all you were doing was throwing a jig?
No.
We're all struggling. Brad's like, I'm going to throw a jig on deep points or some bullshit. Shows up, hits the water, fucking catches fish doing it. Like,
it wasn't even deep points. Like, I was with him and I refused to throw a jig. I got on a little chatterbait bite and then he just kept catching fish. I was like, screw it. So I started throwing a jig just on rock walls, dude, catching fish left and right. It's like, this is stupid. I don't want to do this. I want to crankbait fish or jerkbait fish.
I've never personally paid for a guide, but I'm doing it this year. I'm going to pay Adam Reiser and I'm going to like book him through the winter. And like, you're going to teach me how to not suck here. Cause that lake is great. It's beautiful. And I fucking hate it. Cause I can't ever catch fish on it. And I talked to Garrett and Garrett's like, you just go here and you do this. And I did it. And I didn't catch anything. And then he won the first day doing the same shit. Like, he gave me the stuff to do it, and I still didn't do it. Like,
dude, I'm throwing an A-rig next year. I'm going to force myself to do it.
I caught fish on an A-rig all year this year. I caught them in the dead heat of the summer on school and bass when nobody's throwing A-rigs. I'm taking an A-rig next year, and I'm going, I don't care if it's Walters or smallmouth. I'm catching something.
I'm going to bring my crappie stuff next year. I got a solid crappie bite. We'll be cooking fish dinner.
I'm just getting grilled.
There you go.
Get some walleye out there.
Yeah. Dan, the next time Dan comes with us, Dan's not allowed to take it serious. Dan just has to relax because he was in tournament mode when he came. He was like in bed first, like, I'm going to go fuck y'all up. And we were like, that's cool. I'm going to get hammered until like 2 a.m.
I would have rather night
vision and thermal.
Oh, yeah, that was this year. That was fun. The back porch of one of the cabins with thermal optics and high-powered rifles. We didn't shoot anything, but we sure thought about it.
When in doubt, ask for forgiveness later.
That's yeah, right.
It's fun.
Well, that's like we were talking about like the pigs coming up, and then we had hurt turkeys, and we were all just standing on the back porch, and then Herlaboss was like, "You want me to go get my thermals?" I was like, "Yeah. Go get your thermals. If there's something walking across, we're gonna shoot it."
It's if it's a turkey, just bring a 22,
dude. Oh, the shoot next in the face. Morning, Brad, I don't know, remember if you were, I don't know if you were working yet or you were out there with us. We were all standing on the back deck and we heard a turkey calling. So I just YouTubed turkey calls and I set it on the deck and a turkey popped up, like it was like 88 yards from us. And we were all sitting there and Jay Randall was with us and I was like, I think something bad's gonna happen if he turns towards us. And he finally, because we were like, I think Jay was like, Brad's gun in his room. but it turned and went back down the hill and we left it alone. But
that's dude, funny. I'm bringing my bow next year. I'll say I've got some, I'm just doing, so I'm going to try to come down for the whole week. So there's going to be a day because I know dudes go down there. The 2 years ago, me and John came down and we were pulling up and these guys had four turkeys on the back of their truck. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to turkey hunt. And I just didn't do it. So next year, I'm just going to bring my bow, and I'm just going to do the same thing.
We're getting the big cabin this year, and there's houses right there. If we were at the cabins we were at this year, I would just go saddle in, or not saddle, we're turkey hunting, but like just basically go out in your pajamas out of the back porch, because, I mean, you could shoot them with a bow from the distance we were at, or I know I could.
Well, then I'll just do that. I'll just go over there. Like, well, I'll just go over one morning.
There'll be a wedding party staying in there. They're going to walk out the back door, and they're just going to see him in full turkey gear against the tree.
That's funny.
Screw it. I'll prepare it there. Like, I'll be that weird guy in the back of all the footage, like in camo, just like
walking out with it. Like, there's wedding photos and there's a guy walking with a bird slung over his shoulder. Yeah, we wouldn't be invited back anymore.
That's okay. It's time for a change. At least we'll have turkey. So, you know,
it's time for a change. We have peaked. It's folks. Not. Paddle and fin is going down.
No, I was going to say. Eastport Marina. I love that place. Definitely. Oh,
yeah. Go. Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to them. They take care of us. They sponsor the show and they take care of our. We're very annoying as a group, I'm sure. But they love us. So that's what matters. Mark, have you joined that event before? Have you came out? And because I know we had a bunch of West Virginia guys come out with John Rapp every year.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty busy. Once March, well, the bass had me really busy this spring. I think we had like four events by May or into April or something.
Yeah. Well, if you can work it into your schedule, I think, because like y'all said, third week of April, right?
Yep.
Okay. Pretty sure. Yeah.
If you can sling it in, it's a good time, man. We get their big venue and there's food and live shows and lots of.
Is there
going to
be a wedding at like the weekend we're there?
Oh, I'd highly doubt it. I was totally kidding.
Oh, then why'd you say no?
I mean, now if it is
completely open again,
if it is, I'm going to message Richard. If there is one, I will bring a nice, like, attire and try to get in on that because wedding food's the shit. Like, people pay big money for catering. So, like,
might be a bachelorette party.
I'm married. I can't talk about that.
Yeah. Also married. Speaking of married,
I think all of us are married.
So,
except for
I've got to go. I'm getting whipped.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, have a fun
trip
to
everybody.
The post office tomorrow.
Tomorrow or Thursday. I've got to go get fitted for a tux tomorrow.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Oh, I don't speaking do of weddings.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah, I know. It's not mine. Yeah, that's long gone. The happiness is dead, too. I'm just kidding, babe. I love you. All right, see ya.
So, I know I asked you this before, Mark, but do you know what trails you're going to fish next year?
Nah, not really. Probably bass. No. I would really like to see. I like the motor deal. I would fish some Hobies if allow motors, but
which I don't see that. I mean, eventually they'd probably change it because I think they'll like run out of. I don't even know if it'd be marketing room, but and I get why they don't. I mean, because they play to their brand. Which
yeah, and then they're filling up, so you can't blame them. You know what I'm exactly. saying? They're getting people to show up, so yeah.
I've spoke with I've you know had the pleasure of having lunch with oh fuck, what's his name?
AJ.
AJ. I just drew a blank. About said Steve Owens, like Steve O runs it, but
he runs like 20 different things.
I know, he's part of everything. I tried to get AJ to get him to run Hobie, and he was like, "Yep, maybe he's on the list." But we talked, and I was like, "Man, where do you go from here?" You know, congrats on selling tournaments out. What do you do now? He's like, "I don't know." He was like, every idea I've came up with, you know, it's got like a dead end to it. Like, well, that won't work. That'll take from this. And so I think it'll be cool to see what they do in the next couple of years. Because, like, you've seen a lot of the other trails, I mean, local and national, change things. Got a little bit more information on Bassmaster. So the VP is who took over the kayak side. But he is hiring someone specifically in the kayak industry to run it. So that's going to be better for us. And that's the whole reason they're doing this, is they're trying to put a voice in a person that is actually in the kayak world. Therefore the interest is in the kayak world to help make Bassmaster better for the kayak side. So like that'll be a change. And I think we'll see some more rule changes with them. Somebody told me they've already had a rule change, but me and Garrett were talking about it. He didn't see it. I haven't looked. I'd probably need to, but, just to make it a little more kayak friendly. But Garrett, same question for you. You fish a little bit of everything national trail wise. Do you have any, I mean, I know none of the schedules are out, but do you have any plans next year? Like who you're wanting to focus on or anything?
For next year? I mean, honestly, I'll probably stick to most of the Tennessee stuff just because it's easier to get to. But if it comes close to me, I'll probably fish it. Like any of the Hobie ones or the, Bass ones, the two that I mainly will focus on.
We fished the KBF earlier in the year, and
yeah, I'll fish the KBF if it comes close. Yeah,
we sucked in that one. We didn't learn how to catch fish on a frog until the frog bite was over. But yeah. we
think KBF announced their schedule there the other day.
Part of it,
most of them.
Yeah. I still didn't listen to that part. I keep forgetting.
It's like the same place in Florida. I think they fished Murray, Grand Lake with another lake next to it. The championship's going to be up on Wheeler. So
awesome. Here?
Yeah.
Oh, buddy, I got to get in on that. Oh, yes. I figured he would do Wheeler or Gunnersville because now he's living in Huntsville. But I don't think you'll see... In October, I think you'll see a local. If our local guys will fish it, because most of our local guys fucking hate KBF, so they may not fish. But chance to win big money on Wheeler is always a, because everybody hates Wheeler now. But Wheeler was legendary back in the day, and then after they sprayed it, it's went downhill. But the local guys will tell you that it's coming back. You know, even Randall Wallace, one of the guys that we were supposed to have on tonight. I know that after day, they did like a weird 2-day tournament. After day one, he texted them and was like, we never vote this lake in for the classic ever again. And then he turned around and all but won the event the next day. So
I fished it in the fall 2008 for BFL wildcard back when I used to fish bugs.
Pre them spraying it.
The Cater Flats was, that's all you ever heard was the Cater Flats.
Yeah, Iconelli, KVD, all those guys making history on the Decatur Flats when it was all grassy and pretty.
Talk Hero. Yep. Yeah, and then a West Virginia guy. Remember when he said Kevin who? What was his name? Jeremy Stark. He won a...
I met him at Waffle House here last year. I couldn't think of his name, but we got talking fishing and he showed me that because his tag on his truck says Kevin who. And
really?
Yeah. Like dude's still holding on to that, which do it. Like,
yeah. See, I met him maybe 2007 at a shoot. We were in a BFLs and like we never fished Lake Jordan and they had some kind of like, Warriors on a Water or something, and it was where the pro anglers would take out, you know, veterans or whatever. So me and my buddy went up there just to watch the tournament and try to figure out the lake, and we met Jeremy up there. And then, like, my local boat dealer one year gave him, you know, that's where he got his boat from. I only talked to him a couple times. And then I don't know why he quit. I mean, he won two Elite Series. I mean, he's decent, you know.
Well, I mean, because fishing, pro fishing's still expensive. Like,
oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it's your whole life. You got to make your whole life.
You've got to be silver. You have to be good, obviously, but you have to be a silver tongue with your sponsors and very stern to make it where you can. I mean, even compete. I mean, especially in today's world, like. I still don't think there's too many anglers getting super rich doing this. And Garrett and Dan are walking like textbooks on pro anglers. So they can speak to the guys that can and, you know, like really are making it. And the guys that are like, you know, the guys you don't hear on the Elite Series as much, who are probably coming a lot more out of pocket than others. But some of these guys talk about like, it's $200 to get the boat off the trailer. I can't remember what tournament it was. There was a tournament a month ago, and one of the guys was making a run, and I think he said he spent $2,500 in fuel just during the tournament days because he was running so far from the launch to his spot. And, like, you take that, you take the, like, $5,000 entry fees this, and then you got a place, you know, X to even break even, and then you're trying to pay your bills on it. And some of these tournaments, like, you only have one Elite Series event a month, or, you know, like it's almost a month by the time the next one comes around. It shocks me. So many people still do it and still like have that strive to be a professional bass boat fisherman, because I mean, that's a different kind of freaking grind.
I love it too. You just have to have that kind of career that allows you to get away for that long, you know?
If
you don't have the vacation time and you're not set up like, you know, like me, I'd love to chase more national stuff, but with my new job, I got 18 vacation days and the family takes at least 5 or 6. So
exactly. You know. And it's hard to compete with people that have that schedule where they can go pre-fish however much in advance or spend X amount of time on the water. You know, there's just so much that they are going to get in that time that you're not. I mean, some people just got it. Like, you can just show up to a body of water and figure it out. But, I mean, that's like 1 in 10, if not like 1 in 50. And, like I know about some of the anglers, when we went to Florida, we had 2 days to figure Florida out. Neither me or Brian had ever been there. And the weather was the worst they'd seen in 20 years for winter weather in January. Well, the people that were there for 2 weeks had it dialed in. Of course they did. I can figure out any body of water in 2 weeks. Like, I had 2 days.
That's really one of the things I like about the Bass Trail is off limits. Yes.
Yeah.
I think with Hobie being as big as they are, they need to do it the same deal. Yeah. The 3 days like of practice, that evens it out a lot.
I agree.
Yeah, I think it would be cool. Because I was thinking about this. I just had to figure out the off-limits times for our state championship. And a little bit of a different situation here. We have a lake inbounds, and then there's a float on the lower Coosa River. So you definitely want to give guys time to check it out, the float. Because, I mean, floats can be dangerous and tricky and hard. But you also don't want them burning up the fish. Because it's one big, long float. You're going to have a lot of the field fish it. So, you know, you don't want it to, you know, kind of ruin before it has a chance to show out. But you don't want to limit your guys going to the lake because you're going to need a couple of days to figure the lake out. And, you know, so it's a little bit of a headache. No, Dan's got it figured out. Dan doesn't need any time.
I'm not going to the lake.
You going to do the float this year?
No, I'm not doing either. Fuck both of them.
I forgot. You got the KFL championships or playoffs or something like that, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Playoffs.
Well, the great news about how playoffs. I changed up the formatting for the state championship is it won't be there next year. So...
yeah,
that was like the rule I kind of made was whatever the state championship is 1 year, you can't do it again the next. So, because we had a lot of guys, I mean, everybody likes doing it, but it was like 4 or 5 years in a row. It never changes.
Yeah, same place.
And it's hard to beat the locals down there. The locals are good. Yeah. Like,
and that's like, it's a river place. You have I sound like a broken record. You have a river and a lake. If you fish the lake, you're a sucker. You can't win. So it's like you have to. The river just has bigger spots. You have to go fish it. So
yeah,
and that's just not my jam.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to mix it up from here on out. You know, bring it up to the Tennessee Valley. I think it'd be cool to do it on Smith Lake. Lake Martin, which I don't, Lake Martin's cool. Logan Martin. I don't know about Neely Henry. I don't really like that one, but
I like it better now. Now that yeah. I know it.
Yeah. But
I like Logan Martin.
The Logan Martin was fun, man. If I had known how to net a fucking fish on a 5 foot leader on a Carolina rig, I could have topped 20 that tournament. But I wish I had GoPro'd that event and people could see me struggling with that Greg Blanchard special net, which there's nothing wrong with, but you need a handle this long if you're going to be throwing a 5 foot leader. Because you'd reel that Carolina, the weight up to the tip of the rod, which you should not do. But I was panicking because I'd have like a 17, 18 inch spot on, and I'm just like, ah, I could have hand lined it, but it was terrible. It was so bad. But my whole plan worked. I was getting the fish, I just couldn't get them in the boat. But and then the storms rolled through and it sucked. But I don't want to open up that wound. I'd rather talk about all of Garrett's problems.
It hurts. I said before, if the tournament would have been the day before, me and Lambert were doing a float that either one of us could have won it. And they opened up the floodgates. And for some reason, that killed the bite where we were at. So, but we were freaking on them. like I'm telling my whole family, I'm going to win this, some bitch.
Y'all be at the weigh-in. I got something to show y'all.
Exactly.
And all you got was a truck key. Martin.
Yeah, it sucked.
Yeah. Did you ever get him his key back?
Yeah. I eventually got it to him.
It only took 2 years. But, yeah, I think that next year I'm probably going to do a little bit of the same thing and just kind of dabble around with whatever comes close, like Garrett said. I still want to do – I mean, obviously, Del Hollow is going to be fun. I hope that one of the big ones goes back to La Crosse just to give me an excuse to go up to La Crosse. Garrett, you need to go to La Crosse. Yeah. It's sick.
That's one of my favorite places I ever fished.
That's like Brad's backyard.
Full of vacation days like next year's, but I plan on burning them on something like that if they do that again.
I'd really like to do that too, where I fish it and then my family flies up and we go to like Wisconsin Dells and you know a bunch of other stuff up there. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I would definitely say fly up. Me and my wife drove out, which was fantastic. It was super fun, but I was so focused on making sure she had a good time. Because, neither one of us had ever been there. I didn't want her having to run around La Crosse by herself. That just seems like you're being a shitty husband. Also, wild to be a professional angler.
College town. She'll be fine. Really?
I'm sure she would have been. But, we found good eats and good drinks. And I kind of forgot to pre-fish. I kind of pre-fished one day. But, yeah, I shot myself. I shoot myself in the foot so much. But that's what I'm saying. Like, this year I took way more casual than even that, and it's everything seemed to work better around here. So, are you doing anything big, Brad, or do you think you're gonna? I mean, as like a, I don't want to say progressing angler. I mean, you obviously can fish, and everybody knows that. We're just picking. Like with you having so much success this year locally, do you think you would want to dabble in any of the bigger stuff or follow a trail? Or
it's hard to say at this point. I'm up in the air. Depends. Right now I'm currently working with my pup. She's not a pup, she's 10. I rescued her. She doesn't like other dogs, so we're working through that right now. Being a rescue, she's got some dog fear. If I can work through that, there'll be a puppy in my future, and tournament angling is pretty much done, because I'm first and foremost a dog trainer before I am a fisherman. Like my true passion is training hunting dogs. I love it. It's something I truly enjoy to do. If the dog gets held off another year, I might chase something, maybe regional. Do like something around the regional side. I don't know if I want to chase anything on national level, but maybe something regional.
Regional, or like if you were, I'd say the All American Kayak Series, because they hit a bunch of the good waters up around, you know, the Midwest. And I think that'd be, they run a killer trail, man. Everybody likes it. I think that it's a trail that will be in, I don't want to say contention, like there's like a trophy at the end of it or something, but just one of the big ones you hear about, just like the big three.
Also, that would be what I would hope to
fish.
Yeah.
That there's going to be one on Lake of the Ozarks. I forget who's Eco Pro something or another, but it's like guaranteed first place $10,000, and the guaranteed big bass is $10,000. It's later this year.
Man, you talk about a one fish.
Yeah, that's right. It's a lot.
I'm kind of excited about our state championship. They're giving me a the city of Wetumpka has given me $500 to give out for big fish. So, I mean, $500 big fish, woo! On top of, you know, we'll have more big fish pot from the entry fee, but I can't imagine a $10,000 fish. Like, shit. I can't wrap my head around, like, that feeling of when you catch that fish, you're like, boom, bank. I'd freak out. I don't know. Like,
I don't know if I could refocus after that.
Yeah.
I used to fish the Oakley Big Bass.
One big fish.
Yeah.
I used to fish the Oakley Big Bass out of my boat on Smith Mountain. And I done really well. And one year I was just going down a riprap bank, just like I was looking for bedded fish. It was late April and there were still a lot of bedders. And I see this giant right up on the bank. And I flip a beaver right over there and don't scare it. Man, it goes down, eats it. And, dude, I set the hook. And, I mean, I thought when I netted this fish, I laid down in the boat. I'm like, I just won a new boat. You know what I'm saying? Because it looked like a 7 or 8 pounder. I mean, I don't know back then what the length was on it. But I pick it up out of the net, and it is, like, so skinny. And I'm like, you kidding me? You know, it's just spawned out. And it weighed, like, 5 pounds. I got second in an hour or something like that.
Go find a bunch of crawfish or something and start feeding it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you caught that fish 2 weeks ago, it would have been a giant. It probably would have won it.
It doesn't say in the rules, it says you can't catch it with crawfish. It doesn't say I can't feed that bitch crawfish. Yeah. Like, he was lethargic. I just helped him out. Like,
yeah, it was just giving some treats.
I'm a product of, like, I bet you all of my big fish have all came spawned out. So like my big fish is 23 or 23 and a quarter, I can't remember, and it was 7'2", and it still wasn't really that, like, it was just basically still flat. Like, caught it in the dead heat of the summer on a little grass patch, and like you sit and you're like, well, this is awesome from the kayak standpoint and it's a great looking fish, but shit, what did it look like a few months ago? Like,
yeah, that's a thing with the South. You know, you got the length, but then the weight. They just the bass don't look as healthy. You know,
they definitely go way more lethargic in the South than you see anywhere else.
Yeah, and that's why the fishing, I guess, during the summer gets so tough. You know, summer and late fall. You go north, and it's like, man, it's a feed fest. You know,
yeah, me and
they're thick. You never catch skinny bass up north.
Me and Gary definitely put that. You know, the whole, like, this, like, pre-transition period, summer to fall, to test on Pickwick last weekend, and it's different, because, like, he made a good point. So, like, a lot of people know, and if you read into it, like, your summer to fall transition, when the fish start schooling up and getting back in the creeks and stuff like that, well, that's probably true on most places, but the Tennessee River, they draw the lakes down so much, especially Pickwick, that, like, most of the creeks aren't even in play anymore. There's no water in them. So yeah. The fish don't really migrate back there. And we confirmed all those suspicions this week. We found resident fish, but I found one good. I showed it to him. I caught a 19 and something spot that was probably right around 4 pounds. That's the toughest spot I've ever reeled in. I thought I had a drum because I had my drag all but locked down and he was peeling it off the reel.
That was,
and I was like,
fish.
I got him foul hooked or something, and he jumped, and I freaked out, and I was like, ah! And then I reeled it in, and it's like this big old football, and it had had the rough tongue, and I was like, and it's a spot, hell yeah, I love catching spots, man. Like,
yeah, me too.
It was, and that's not what you expect to catch on Pickwick. We're out there looking for big, stupid largemouth and smallies that may be dumb enough to come up shallow on that end of the lake, and
there's not a lot of places you can go and get the slam and catch all three, but Pickwick's. Tennessee
yeah.
River.
Yeah. Pickwick, yeah, Gunnersville at the right time of the year.
Slam.
You can do it on
Wheeler
pretty easily.
Yeah, that's the quality. They got really quality there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I still want to catch a real big main lake smallie on Pickwick. I've never done it. Dan's helped me like kind of start to put the pieces of the puzzle together for that kind of fishing. I just didn't do it this year. We tried. We went out there in a bass boat during the Elite Series. And, I mean, obviously we didn't get on the ledges because we were trying not to get in their way. But we caught a bunch of fish. We caught a slam that day. Caught good smallmouth on a crankbait. Caught largemouth back in the creeks. And obviously spots because that's where you're going to find them. But it was cool. When we put our scores together, we beat like half the elites. It was kind of a good day for us. You know, we're kind of a big deal.
Might as well go pro, man.
I'm just looking for sponsors. Garrett, if I can have half of what Garrett spends on tackle a season, I could cover all of my entry fees, and that is not an exaggeration. I can cover the
what's up, big money?
Dude. No, I hit him up at the beginning of, and I'm not trying to put his business out there. It was like right during the spring. My man got picked up. He's works with Yoziri, and he ordered like one of everything they have. And this box shows up that's like 4 foot by a foot, packed to the rim with everything, all nice. And I was like, I'm just curious because I talk to him all the time. I was like, what have you spent on tackle this year? And he was like, it's a little north of like $4,000. And I was like, is that rods and reels? He's like, no. I was like, what?
Yeah, I do all my spending in the beginning of the year. So I'd like,
dude, he's lying
throughout the year.
He texted me the other day. He's like, I grabbed a couple new rods to try. You know, a brand I hadn't really heard of, but they look pretty good, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, cool. And he's like, yeah, they were only $300 a piece. I was like, who does that?
What were they?
I got sold on that freaking targeting ad or Instagram stuff, but it's I think it's called Trika. They're from
that's one of the lightest rods I've ever held, and he loved them when he was using them.
Yeah, it was, they're really nice. I enjoy them. They got like those full carbon grips on them.
And he fishes with Megabass Levantes, so he fishes with high end shit, and then he tries these out and likes them. So. I just don't got that kind of budget. Like I think I got some high end stuff with some of my Dobbins and some of my reels, and then I pick his shit up and I'm like, shit. And now I can't afford that ballpark.
That's where I went wrong. I picked one up one time and fished with it, and I was like, I can't go back now. I'm done for.
I know if you like the real light stuff, my buddy Chuck, he uses the Phoenix Feather. He's really into that.
Good things about that one.
Yeah.
I got $50, says he'll have one ordered before morning.
Yeah, I got it pulled up in my tackle warehouse right now.
Yeah. Wouldn't be surprised.
In the cart.
Yeah. Oh, you don't say, that's a good rod? Okay.
Yeah, I'll give it a try.
With how you like trying gear and stuff, because I mean, we're all gear whores. Gary just gets to do it more than the rest of us, or some of us. I'm surprised you hadn't ended up with any G Loomis rods. Everybody knows G Loomis makes good shit.
Yeah, I just haven't gone that far off the deep end with the $600 and $700 rod range.
Yeah.
It's coming. But, I don't know. He just got married. It may not be coming. So,
what kind of rod you into, Mark? Do you have a brand?
Whatever. Yeah. I mean, I like the Dobbins. I got some Champion XPs now. They're really, really good. And I've got like my jig rods, St. Croix Legend. I'm off order. I've been catching fish off of spinnerbait a lot lately. And I got a 6'6 Quantum I paid $30 for 15 years ago. It's medium heavy, and it's missing an eye, and I use it every week.
Yeah. That's the way I feel about the old All-Star rods.
Yeah, I like the old All-Star.
I finally sold my last, early 2000s model All-Star rod, and
like maroon ones.
Yeah, it was a 6'6 medium heavy mod. God, I missed that rod. But when I got back into the fishing game, 6'6 was long when I first started fishing, and now everybody's like, "Well, if it's not 7'11", it ain't." I'm like, what?
Well, that's like real ratio.
The pistol grip too.
Yeah.
See, I'm old school. I still remember when Quantum come out with the 6'3 burner. You know what I'm saying? That was a burner back in the day. And like I still throw a lot of 6-to-3, 6 ratio reels, and you know everybody's saying that's slow speed now. You know,
yeah, I can't throw anything under like a 7.5 now. Like I have to have.
I've got 1.63 I use for top water or like crankbaits. Like I like a slow reel on shallow crankbaits because I don't know why I feel like I can just feel it really go nuts.
I honestly got 4 or 5 something reels.
Jesus.
Oh my God.
I bet you've got wrist problems like carpal tunnel or something.
Dude.
Hey, Mark, if you need a spinnerbait rod, check out the Falcon Head Turner. It's like their 6'10 spinnerbait rod. I mean, they have it both the Expert and the
I really looked up to it, and then I had a local guy build one that I like it, and I've been using it, but because I actually have, like, this weekend, that's what I want on the spinnerbait. And man, I can't give up all the juice, you know what I'm saying? But I'm throwing a bigger spinnerbait than everybody else. Yeah. So it gets deeper, and the fish just ain't seen the bait. You know what I'm saying? And that's stupid.
It's the best spinnerbait rod I've ever owned.
Like, easy. I can't wait to try the. I'm gonna pick up one of Russ Snyder's rods. His Snyder Sniper.
Snipers.
Yeah. I guarantee you, it's probably a killer. Like, and you talk about, like, you know, I'm a gear whore too. I work with Dobbins, and I love their stuff. I did realize that I'm very thin on backup rods as of late. And my buddy told me Academy had this crazy clearance still going on. And they had the H2O Express, which is their brand. They're called the TAC 40s, which is Stetson Blaylock's models. They're one piece graphite with full one piece carbon blanks and carbon bases and reel seats. And with all the sales and discounts, I got them for $28 a piece.
Wow.
And like, they felt good. Like, they actually had a 7.6 mag heavy.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, backup frog rod. And it felt like a broomstick, so I can't wait to.
Honestly, I feel like you don't need a really expensive rod for a frog rod. I mean,
it's funny. My first ever frog rod was one of the Camo H2O Expresses. And that rod I've given away, and the guy still uses it. That rod's probably 7 years old. And caught a ton of fish in thick Gunnersville grass and Wheeler swamps, and it will not die. And that's why I was kind of okay with, you know, $28 a piece. It was like backup rods for friends. You know, like right now I broke one of my frog rods, Dobbins. It's nothing they did wrong. I let it get down, the tip sank down in the grass at Gunnersville, and I tried to snatch it through the grass, and I snapped it in half because I'm a dumbass. And, you know, I'm waiting to go do the warranty claim. I just haven't had time. And we were at Academy today after dinner, and I saw that. I was like, that'll work for a couple days. So,
but there's some things like a spinner bait, man. Just a medium heavy works for me. I don't.
Yeah, that's what I throw a spinner bait on.
I mean, it ain't specific for me. You know what I'm saying? But now when I go cranking or a Ned rig or actually shaky head, a jig, I get specific. You know what I'm saying? With the spinner bait, I'm kind of not.
Only
I'm
one, I guess.
With the spinner bait, I like it on a longer, softer rod.
Okay. He is specific on everything. Hitman carries 12 rods with him, and every one of those bitches has a mission and has been selected specifically for that mission.
Actually, I have sometimes, like when I travel, when I go to Pickwick, I'll have 20 rods in my boat.
Jesus Christ.
Really? That's why I like the Baby Titan. Yeah, dude. Dude, you got so much room in that thing, dude.
Brad, how many rods do you carry when you fish? Like four?
Six.
Six. Simple.
Yeah, six.
What about you, Dan?
I try to only, in the Hobie, I try to only carry six.
I can go
horizontal, and then I don't have to worry about them sticking up. But, I mean, I can carry like 12 plus, you know. And sometimes if I'm fishing offshore where it's like, going shallow and deep, sometimes I will, but especially if I know I'm going shallow, I try to just carry six, so then I don't have any standing up.
Yeah, that's one thing I hate about carrying a lot of rods is I can have five comfortably laying down in the unlimited, and then I'll have the rest stand behind me. But I didn't tell Garrett about this when we were fishing this weekend. I went back up in the little secluded area that had a lot of low hangers, and you always hear your rod tips touching, but I don't ever pay any attention to it. I fished the area, turned around and came back, and my spinning rod was hanging from the tree, and all you could see was this much of the rod. And it hadn't knotted up. It had one braid wrapped around one twig one time, and it was holding it. And it was a 9-foot hole. I'd never seen it. And there was a foot of the rod sticking up. And I was like, oh! And I'm glad that one didn't have a savior device on it, because it would have helped if it had fallen, but then you got to replace that again.
I put a couple of those deals on whenever I've had my old town, and the flush mount rod holders, there's nowhere for them to drain. So they filled up with water, and I put my savior in there, and boom, it popped. And it's like, well,
they changed
these don't
that.
Work for me.
Your rod out.
Yeah, they changed that with the newer ones. but I have a couple of the old ones from like Dobbins rods I bought used. And that happened actually the last time me and Garrett fished, as I set one in and I turned and I heard boop. And I was like, what was that? And it just shot, and it was in the rod holder that's angled back. So it just like, and I got lucky and the little foam thing had wedged into the rod tube. But the, cause I didn't see the rod. I was like, what was that noise? And then you see that bright yellow braid. I was like, oh, son of a bitch. So, and I still haven't replaced it. I fished it all weekend with just a screw hanging out of the bottom of it. I don't care. It'll be all right.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Don't overthink it.
You're one to talk, buddy. Yeah. Don't overthink it.
My, a lot of my rods I've went to, maybe this is just me, but I have a lot of, I went up a power on a lot of my rods because I felt like I wasn't getting enough of a hook set from a kayak going from a boat to a kayak. So a lot of my stuff, if it used to be medium heavy, I went to a heavy.
Between just me. No, Garrett has kind of shown me that. And then a good buddy of mine local here, Spencer, the rods I'm using for my heavy frog, and he uses for everything around here. And can turn like can school me on it, and like I'm missing bites or losing fish, and he's not. And he actually, that last tournament I got in, I kind of did that. I swapped everything up and went a little bit heavier on each of my setups. Even like, I try not to go heavy on like treble hook baits, like a plopper.
Yeah.
And he talked me into going up one, so I actually traded my plopper and plopper and chatterbait rods just to see what happened. And dude, I wrecked them. And so it's like your whole theory, and especially with Dobbins, it's like it tells you what they're good for. Like this is what baits work best on it. And I still didn't go by that, and they worked even better. So it's just
also good. like longer rods out of a kayak.
I really like longer rods too.
Yeah, like you get better casting distance because you're sitting down, and better hook sets on like those longer casts because you can take up more line with that longer rod.
That's what I'm going to experiment with this 7.6. My frog rods are 7.3s, but I can send that frog, you know, into outer space. And I've noticed, like, I say it all the time. I'll throw it far out there. It hits the water. I'm like, I'm going to be in trouble if I get bit, and I turn around and get bit and don't have that backbone. So that's why I'm basically using this cheap rod to give a longer rod a chance on these bombing casts to see if it changes that hookup ratio or not. What were you going to say, Dan?
No, I'm just really surprised somebody hasn't made like a real, you know, kayak specific line of rods that are, you know, I don't know.
Didn't Bonafide just come out with rods, yak rods?
There are yak rods. I mean, there are some things.
Yeah.
I think Croy's got some. All of them make like their rod with a shorter handle.
Yeah.
Which doesn't to me change. Why do you need a shorter handle in a kayak?
I like a shorter handle. I mean, I think, I like a shorter rod.
Yeah.
The longer handle could hit your vest and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
It could just be how I hold the rod when I do it. I like for it to rest like right in here.
Mm-hmm.
And with a spinning rod, I have a lot of like straight up hook sets, which that doesn't change anything to me with that length. Because I over grip it real bad. And, it's kind of like using a cane pole at that point. As long as you're holding it, it's all fine. But like when I do bait casters, I always set to a corner, you know, whether it's set that way or set this way. And I like to have, cause like as it sets and it pulls back against you, that rod's usually laying on my forearm. And that's some of the rods I looked at that were on sale today were really short. And like you put them in your hand. And I mean, you're talking like mid forearm. And I was like, I have no leverage on a rod like that. Like, you get in the thick shit that I fish, you need to be able to.
Let the dogs out.
Yeah, he's freaking out. That's Coconut. He just barks at everything. Something moves. He's a Great Pyrenees, so he's like.
He's got big bark too.
Yeah.
Mm. We named my dog Topper because whenever you take him for a walk, he always shits on top of stuff.
That's hilarious.
Like he literally puts his top, his poop on top of things. Like if it, whatever it is, like if it'll be like, you'll have an entire field and he'll find the one piece of monkey grass or something that's up a little bit higher and shit on top of that.
That's just common. Like I trap and coyotes and bobcats and all, that's the way they do it.
Really?
Yeah. They want to see, they want to be seen. It's like marking territory sort of deal.
You gotta show if they're
my shit's on top.
My shit's on top. All right. One of y'all believe on that. Go in there and shit on your toilet seat and see if his wife beats the shit out of them first.
Go upper deck.
Is that the theory behind Amber turds?
Yeah, just shit on the bed. Mine!
He called that shit a grumpy. He's like, she took a grumpy. That got me.
Jeez. I love how people were like challenging that it was like dog versus human, and he was like, you can tell the difference, folks. Like, huge difference.
We have a chihuahua. She's a grown woman.
Well, that's awesome. Well, getting into the closing thoughts, Brad, we'll start with you. What you looking forward to, you got coming up? You gonna try to hit some teals again, or
starting to get the dog back. I keep the dog in shape, but really getting the dog back in shape. I was invited to be a guide for the Ruff Grouse Society's grouse camp in Eagle River, Wisconsin this year. So I'll be guiding two rookie hunters up there during grouse camp. So I'm really excited for that. And that really is the start to my grouse season, which I'm up north four of the five next weekends after that chasing grouse. So
I want to do that so bad.
Plug the show too, man.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, I just recorded tonight. Yeah, we got Feather and Fur. I'm the host, one of the Paddle and Fin shows. Bi-weekly, my show airs Saturdays, and my next episode's this coming Saturday on, what is that, like the 17th? Whatever
maybe.
It works out to be.
Sounds right.
Did I pull 13, that? Yeah, 17th. 17th. Look at that.
Well, that's awesome.
It's coming up.
No, he gets a bunch of cool guests on, and they covered just a little bit of everything. I need you. I don't know how you would play it into kayak hunting, because you'd never get one on a kayak. It'd be badass if you could get like an elk hunter that some random, because like people think elk, they think out west, but there's elk hunters in Kentucky and Tennessee and stuff where there is a lot of these little backwaters. Like, and the elk aren't as giant as the Roosevelts and stuff like that. It'd be really cool to find out somebody's like packed one out with a kayak. You should research.
Probably
that.
Know who to talk to start on that conversation. So
I think that would just be sick, especially if they got pictures of like a 5x5 plus just rack hanging off of a freaking kayak. That'd be sick.
I don't think an elk's gonna fit on their kayak.
I bet you I could get one on that unlimited.
You can get pieces of it, but I mean,
we're gonna find out about that weight limit on that thing.
Yeah, I've been around some dead elk. They're really big.
Yeah. 600 pounds of meat.
That's a whole lot of animal.
Just get a tow kayak just specifically for the meat.
I think Everett Park, he's killed some nice deer on, you know.
Oh, yeah. Like Everett's done a bunch.
Parker McDonald's got some gorgeous bucks using the canoe as well. Just some
is he one gorgeous. Of the – no, that's not him. The – what are the urban hunter guys called? I can't think of their freaking name.
Seek one.
Yeah. And then what's the one you're talking about, Brad? The other guys, they're
chasing public something.
Yeah.
Hunting public.
Hunting public. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Those guys are
Guys are really kick ass. They've got some really good videos on saddle hunting too, since we talked about that at the beginning. That is those, because Garrett, I think, is the one that told me about that. Or maybe it was Waylon. Fuck, I can't remember. I talked to too many people about too much shit.
I doubt.
But Mark, closing thoughts, man. What you got coming up? What you excited for?
Anything? I'm really, really busy. I mean, this past weekend, I fished a two-day championship Mountain State. This weekend coming up, I got a SVKA event. And that'll be the last, you know, they got a championship after that. So next weekend I got that tournament, or this weekend coming up, and then I got the West Virginia Kayak Anglers Championship, and I'm leading the angler year of that. So I need to do good in that championship, and it's a two-day tournament. And then the week after that, I got Bassmaster. I'm second in angler year of that on Pickwick. And then
I'll hook you up, buddy.
Yeah, I'm good. I fished Pickwick a few times. I'm really excited about it. I'm really
I'll
confident.
Take that information you're giving out, Dan.
I can't fish it. So
it's hard for people to catch other people's fish. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm a loner. I like find my own fish, kind of deal. And I think I got to know what's going to happen. I do a lot of research, and I don't know. I got a good idea, good plan. But I don't think I'm going to fish KBF National Championship. I didn't fish it last year, and I don't know. I'm just not excited about the venues, you know, Kentucky Lake.
I mean, I really think Kentucky not. Lake I mean, could be good, especially from the kayak standpoint. I know a bunch of folks that still fish it that have phenomenal trips out there. So, like, yes, Kentucky Lake's doing a lot worse than it used to, but it's also from our side of the world, we're accessing stuff a lot different. I mean, some people are still out there.
Well, the banging. KBF had a 2-day, you know, they had a trail last year, and, it, you know, they're two different tournaments, 2 days. And Casey Reed, you know, me and Casey talk all the time, and I don't think he caught but like one or two fish in the whole week or something. I mean, that boy can catch fish, you know what
last
I'm saying?
Time,
and then Jody and them, I mean, Matt Ball. I mean, I fished against Matt Ball this weekend. I mean,
yeah, we went out there kind of on a whim 2 years ago. And, I mean, me, Brian, and Jay just were goofing off and stumbled into a bunch. I mean, we caught was smallmouth. I don't think we caught anything else. And it, I don't know. I just think that it could be like, I'm not pro KBF or nothing. I like different areas I haven't been to, and it's cool to go to like historically good lakes and shit like that. And we did a show on it last week, like talking about how they've opened it up, which I think is cool because it's going to be money for the winter. Like if 400 people show up, you know. And,
yeah, it's an open.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Like open championship. That's what I think they should call it. But I don't know. It'll be cool to see how it plays out. I was talking.
I hope they get a bunch of people. I really do. I hope it works out. I mean, you know, I'd want maybe next year to fish a Wheeler. I really like Wheeler.
I'll fish the next one just because it's 10 minutes from my house straight.
Well, Wheeler at the wild card, I was at the first day, I think I was in 20th place out of 300. And, you know, it was the boat draw. You know, I was co-angler deal. And the next day, that's why I quit doing co-angler, man. The next, like, as soon as you get off stage, you meet your next partner. You know what I'm saying? Because your boat numbers are, you just like switch one place or something. And so I meet my next day's partner, and he caught like one fish, and he said, "How'd you do?" And like, I just weighed in, I was like 7th place or something. And he's like, "Oh man, you caught him." He said, "We're not going to go far tomorrow. We're, you know, I'm not going to put no gas in it."
Jesus.
Dude, I'm serious. We went straight to a bridge. Like, you know, right there in town. And there was like 7 boats. There were 2 or 3 broke down. It just sucked. I was catching one of Carolina rig, and I ended up catching a drum, man. Like, you know, it made my heart stop. It was a
Wheeler
big
Lake
drum.
Wheeler Lake smallmouth, man.
I thought this is the one, you know, because I only had like 5 or 6 pounds. It was fall, you know, it sucked, you know. And you're just catching 1 pound keepers. My buddy, actually, a local boy that I ended up fishing with, he finished 2nd and had like maybe 14 pounds the second day or something. It was crazy.
I know we've lost got some buddies. I had a buddy post night before last. He does night tournaments on Wheeler all the time. And it was the night me and Garrett got back. I meant to send it to you. We struggled, and he went out on Wheeler, and it's a 3-fish night tournament, and he had like 15. Oh, and he had 1 6-pound smallmouth on Wheeler right now.
KBF, was it last year? I think I fished Pickwick, and I think Wheeler won it, maybe.
It was 2 years ago, and that was
– Yeah, it was two years ago, yeah.
That was Drew and what's Drew's buddy's name that he does the show with?
Morris, Ken.
Ken, yeah.
Dr. They won, Morris Water.
They won 2 to –
But yeah, I always heard that Wheeler sucked, you know, that it went downhill and stuff. But it seems like in backwaters was like really sneaky big.
It's definitely down from its history. Yeah. And it fishes small. So the backwaters are on fire, but it's like you find a backwater that is on fire, and then the rest of them will suck that week, and then they like moves. Our club just had their classic there last weekend, and I think there were only two fish caught in the 20s. Like, it was tough, but there was a bunch. But a lot of these guys get like stupid way up in the skinny water catching like creek smallies and stuff like
John
that.
John Thompson.
Yes. John Cox.
Would jump in logs and stuff. I don't know if you've seen his Instagram story. Did y'all see his Instagram story today?
No.
I didn't see it today.
He was filming with maybe Tackle Warehouse or something, some new Berkeley baits. And he was down there in Florida. And, dude, he is nuts, man. He's
actually,
at the Classic, like when I went to go back to my truck, I got to ride with him and Ray Hanselman, like to get back to my vehicle. You know, they just come off the Classic stage. And that was probably one of my highlights. You know, I was just stuck in a truck with them for 45 minutes and listening to them talk, you know, how their day went and all this. But John Cox is he's just totally awesome, dude.
I feel like that I can be a good angler. Like, because
dude, he was interested in the kayak trophy. He was like, what you win, dude? He said, oh, second, that ain't bad. What you, kayak? He said, cool. How much it cost to enter?
I'll tell you right now, John Cox is,
dude, he would get in one, I believe.
Yeah, John Cox is not the guy y'all want jump in our national trail. John Cox would get in a kayak, get further than he can get in his boat, and fucking royally screw the rest of our world up. Like, he'd be like, so wait, if I fish all these trails, it only costs me this amount of money.
Exactly.
And I can win this amount of money.
That's what he said. He said, oh, that's all you paid and you won that much? That's exactly what he said. He was like, wow. I mean, to him, he's like, because he's all about that, you know? And
You know how I would feel like if I come around the corner in one of my honey holes on Wheeler and John Cox is back there in a kayak drug up on the bank? I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, cool that I was in the right area, but I don't have a chance in hell anymore. Thanks, guys.
He's totally awesome, man. They were in Florida, and he just went right across a grass flat, dude. Like, there was no – it didn't even look like water, and he's just wide open, dude, sending it.
Aluminum boats for the wind.
And then all of a sudden, you know, there he is back in a lake, and I'm like, holy
crap. He's proof that your map study pays off. Because he said it in the 2016 when that he won on Wheeler. He was like, I just like to find areas that are like fishing ponds. It just makes it easier.
Yeah, and that's what Drew Gregory's done. And, I mean, nothing against that. I mean, and you put in a lot of effort like that. You know, I've done it here at the house. So.
Oh, yeah, it's not easy.
Rough areas. Because really, that's a key is finding fish that ain't pressured.
Yeah.
They're dumb. They're dumb. I like dumb fish.
We all do.
Come on,
well, Garrett, real quick, Garrett, what's your closing thoughts? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I got Kentucky Lake and Pickwick coming up. So I think I'm going to be on Kentucky Lake this weekend. That we were just talking about it.
Which tournament is that for?
It's for the CAST state championship. It'll be the weekend before the KBF.
Gotcha.
Out there, so we'll be hammering their fish for them.
There you go. And then you're gonna do the Bassmaster on Pickwick.
I'm thinking I'm going to. I'm still kind of on the fence about it, but I'm gonna give it one more shot out there and see if I can find something I like.
About 100 people would sign up.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that there's not just for this one because Pickwick's awesome. But
I would if I hadn't just taken a new job, I'd be there.
Yep. Well, guys, I appreciate y'all coming on and just rambling on with us. It's been fun. I like to change it up a little bit too. It makes it just a little more fun for us.
It's definitely a good time. Appreciate you having me on. I want to thank Brad Hicks for sticking it out. Oh wait. Like he left for everybody that's listening on for everyone that can't see like the picture. Hicks left about an hour ago, just so everyone knows.
Yeah, I'm going to call him out.
Showed up, about said two out, words but... and dipped.
It's all good. We appreciate him coming on and chilling for a second. And I guess Brad dropped the date for the Paddling Fin event. So good job, Brad. We appreciate it. And, you know, thanks to Matt for hopping in. Matt's always fun to talk to. But yeah, thank you, Brad, for coming on, and Garrett and Mark. You know, I hope y'all both have a great, you know, the rest of y'all's fishing year, and hopefully we'll have y'all back on, yeah, Mark, for an AOI. And actually, Garrett, I'm hoping with the way the season's working out, we'll have be able to get the Cast State Championship covered on here too. So don't screw that up, so we can have you on.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll try my best.
I believe luckily, you.
If that one's a five fish over a 2 day span, pretty much. So hopefully
you got
I can get it done on one day and screw up the next day and still be able to manage something.
You better hope a riser didn't catch another 24 against you.
Oh god.
Yeah.
I still beat him.
Hey, there you go. Hang your hat. Yeah. I beat riser and he called a donkey.
And it counted 24.
Well, all right, guys. Well, we appreciate it so much. We'll let y'all get to it. But we'll see you next time.
Yeah. Thanks for having us on.
All right.
Yeah.
Peace. See you.
Thanks, everyone.
All right. Fun show. Little different thing. I love just goofing off. I wish we just had a show that consistently was like that. Like one of our segments was just, you know, like bullshitting.
Yeah.
We take stuff too serious sometimes. Well, real quick, we're going to get into the tournament coverage. I got a bunch of them, so give me like 5 minutes. First up, we had the NACA tournament trail on Wheeler Lake in Huntsville, Alabama. 29 anglers. First place, Jason Moore with 91 1/4. Second place, Randall Wallace with 89 1/4. Third place, Michael Cooper with 87 inches. Next up was the Socks and Cookies 6th Annual Nation Tournament. 35 anglers. First place, David Leslie with 104 1/4. Second place, Wilton Rogerson with 98 1/2. Third place, Andrew Tweeton with 89 1/4. Next up, the Ontario Kayak Bass Trail on Sturgeon Lake. 107 anglers. First place, James Pendleton with 90 inches. Second place, Ian Hodgkins with 87. Third place, Nate Conley with 85 3/4. Nate's having a really good year. The Mid-Atlantic Kayak Bass Fishing on Goldsboro, which is part of the Susquehanna. 25 anglers. First place, James Pothering with 97. Second place, Matt Campbell with 96 1/2. Third place, Kevin, Pudlovich with 88 1/2. Next up was the Buckeye Kayak Fishing Trail on Piedmont Lake. 40 anglers. First place, Ed Shameen with 68. Second place, Tim Crabtree with 67 3/4. Third place, Dave Shar with 61. That was a five-fish limit tournament, and only first place and second place had limits. Next up was the Mountain State Kayak Anglers on the New River, Bluestone Lake, and Greenbrier River. 25 anglers, three-fish limit. It was a separate bodies of water. You could use one per. That's the one Mark was just on here talking about. His 2 day total was 105 1/2. Second place, Mikey Holcomb with 105 1/4. So a narrow victory there. Third place, Brian McClung with 99 3/4. Next up was the Queen City Kayak Bass Fishing Trail on Lake Murray with 76 anglers. First place, Chris Goodwin with 74 inches on their famous four fish limit. Second place, Jeremy Heath with 70 1/2. Third place, Chad Walden with 70 1/4. Next up's the San Antonio Kayak Fishing Trail on Lake Travis. 29 anglers. First place, Jeremiah Smith with 89 1/2. Second place, Ramon Flores with 82 1/2. And third place, Ott Shaw with 82 1/2 as well. Next up was the Badger State Kayak Championship on Green Lake, Wisconsin. Is an invite-only event. 38 anglers. First place, Todd Martins with a two-day total of 165 3/4. Second place, Aiko Yvang with a 153 3/4. And third, Pao Chow with 153 1/4. Next up was the Georgia Kayak Fishing League on the Okmulgee?
I don't know.
Come on, Mississippi. Help me out here.
Okmulgee.
There we go. We'll go with that. 27 anglers. First place, Chris Kirkpatrick with 89 inches. Second place, Dylan Lowry with 86 3/4. Third place, Mike Watson with 81. Moving on to the Moyak event on Bull Shoals with 67 anglers. First place, Tommy Probst with 87 inches. Second place, Chad Davison with 86. Third place, Lance Burris with 85 1/2. Next up is the Idaho Kayak Bass Fishing Trail event on the CJ Strike Reservoir. 25 anglers. First place, Kyle Zimke with 77 3/4. Second place, Troy Miller with 75 3/4. And third place, Butch Delaney with 75 1/2. Just a couple left. Colorado Kayak Fishing Club, Boyd Bass Series, 35 anglers. First place, Alex Rojas with 81. Second place, Eric Alley with 80 1/2. And third place, Josh Unger also with 80 1/2. And I'm going to screw this one all up. Next up was the Hobie Fishing European Championship. two-day tournament in Italy. 68 anglers, 5 fish per day. Jonas Pesco with 373 centimeters. Second place, Luca Santanini with 363 centimeters. And third place, Manon Rocher with 356 centimeters. So congrats to those guys. It's cool hearing about kayak tournaments going on all over the world. Congratulations to all the guys that kicked ass in all these closing events of the year. And if your trails are still going, because like we said earlier, a lot of the northern trails are like mid towards the end of the year. So great to get to talk about them, and good job to all the winners. And that's that. Dan, got anything to close on, brother?
That's it. Go Kingfishers. We have the week off for where the first place in the South. So we have the week off.
Thanks for tuning in.
Yep.
Sorry.
Just ready to finish out the season strong.
So does your playoff start the week after that?
No, it's the 24th and then the 8th.
24th and the 8th. How many rounds will it be for y'all that y'all fish if y'all like keep going? Like if you win on out?
This is wild card. 24th is the next round. The 8th would be the North and South Championships. And then I think it's October, whatever, 20-something is the championship on check. So that's it.
Sweet. Well, good luck to y'all, and hopefully y'all kick everybody's ass. Be nice to say that. Hopefully. That's my co-host. Well, we appreciate it again, guys. Again, a little bit of different episode. We appreciate everybody hanging out with us as usual. Check on your fantasy stuff. The years are closing down. Tournament championships are coming up. If you haven't already, save the dates for our Del Hollow event for next year. It's coming up quick. Everybody have a great weekend, and we'll see you next time. Peace.
Later.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures. Your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs, when in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.